Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's having a wonderful, safe weekend. I know we are snug as bugs in a rug right about now. I want to give everybody the number, so if anybody wants to call in just to speak, or, you know, we're going live on Blog Talk also. And that number is 563-999-3682, and that's on Blog Talk, if that's what you, if you want to just listen in. I want to remind you guys about my book, and usually on Sundays we do pretty much the, you know, we talk about my book, okay, A Mother's Love. A Holistic Master, I don't know who that is. I'm going to have to look him up. I think Phil Scott was talking about him, right, Booker? I think Phil Scott was talking about him on African Diaspora, right, if I'm not mistaken. Prayers going out to his family. Is it him or her? I was just reading the comments, but I want you guys to remember on Sundays we do pretty much topics out of the book, and we touch on a lot of Black issues. And I hope you guys are reading Psalms 91. I tell people I've always read that for, you know, for many years. And right now, in particularly, that's almost like a covering for us. And people don't understand, haven't seen Phil talk, so talk about it. Okay, but Phil had like a message on about that the other yesterday, I think it was, if that's the same person. The topic, let me give you guys the topic. We're going to talk a little bit about some really sensitive issues, and I know this is, you know, I mean, men go through this too, little boys in particular also. And a lot of times they think that they're gay instead of, yeah, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do it. How do I do it? How do I, okay, I did it. Okay, thank you. This is a really super sensitive issue, and the topic is talking about rape, incest, molestation, and abortion. And you guys know this goes on in a lot of communities, okay? And my community, I'm really talking about the Black community right now, and I really, you know what, before I do touch that subject, I want to really talk about, I heard and I saw something on Twitter. Let me just help out my family for one moment here. And I'm not trying to fuss. I promise you I'm not trying to fuss. But I am trying to get us on code. Okay, we talked about Mayor Taurus Manumission yesterday. Or this was Thursday. And we have to get on code. We talked about that. We touched on that subject about a code of behavior. We need to be taught a code of behavior. I think because we went to, you know, slavery and we had such a, you know, we were stripped from everything. Slavery with the Willie Lynch syndrome, the Stockholm syndrome. We were stripped from a lot of our culture, a lot of heritage, a lot of who we are, okay, or who we should have been, okay. We were stripped, and a lot of who they are was poured into us. We have to fail. We can't fail to understand, you guys, that we have to get back to creating a culture, a code of behavior, and get back to what everything that the church placed in us was totally against what Yah had for us. Let's understand that. They changed Sundays. They changed Saturday worship to Sunday. They told you it was okay to eat pork. They told you it was okay to eat shrimp, lobster, crab legs. They told you to eat all of this bottom feeder stuff, all of the stuff, pork, all of the stuff that is going to do you harm. And all of the foods that they said was okay to eat is really stopping you and blocking you from getting to Yah. People have to understand that. Why do you think this coronavirus is not touching Black folk? I mean, you have a here and there, you have a couple, right? Let's understand something. This is all about you, family. It's all about my Black family, my B1 family. Yes, we have Black folks that look like us, like Obama, Al Sharpton. They look like us, but they don't rock like us. They don't rock like us at all. Because somebody look like you, if they don't sound like you, they don't talk like you, don't get it twisted. When you see a lot of white folk caping for Black folk, that person is out of order somewhere. Either they got something on that person, or they're caping for that person, or they put that person up there to lead you astray, okay? Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Steve Harvey. A lot of those people have led Black folk astray for so long. And we are failing to understand that because Obama looked like us, think about what he gave you. He gave the LGBT something. He gave everybody something except us. But we still fail to realize, just like Stacey Abrams and that Gilliam person, all of those people that white folk put up in front of us, we have to look and do our homework. When they present somebody to us, you got to believe that it's something to that person, because that person is a safe Negro for them. That's not somebody that we can trust. Because I'm going to tell you what, they would never put me up there because they know I don't rock with them like that. They know that I'm B1 first. They know that. But we have to understand that when we accept anything and anybody and everything and everybody, we get ourselves in trouble. We have this corona thing, and we was calling it, you know, they was the Rona or whatever y'all calling it now, and they was calling it the Asian, whatever, right? Okay, but when Ebola was out, they called it the African disease, right? What's so special now that we could call it the African Ebola disease? It started in Africa, but it was started by Bill Gates. We all know that. They gave those people that Ebola. It, the same way it came, the same way it went, but after it killed hundreds of people, Africans, right? But it didn't affect anybody else. But then when it did affect a couple of doctors and nurses, what did they do? And when people was bringing it into America, it stopped, right? Okay, let's think about this now. Think about this, okay? You have to see what's going on right now. This is not affecting us. It's all about us, Israel. It is all about us, black folk. I don't care what nobody says. But let me just help you out. Some black folk that I've seen on Twitter, I am so upset with them because I've seen them caping for Chinese. I've seen this one man outside of the Chinese restaurant trying to get people to go and do business with these Chinese, with the Asians. I don't understand that. Please help me to understand that. So I need somebody to help that make sense for me. Make it make sense. I don't understand it. I don't understand how people, you won't even cape for your own, but you'll go and you'll stand outside of a group of people that have been so racist to black folk. And you guys know what I'm saying. They have never caped for us, ever. But guess what? We'll cape for everybody that everybody is treated wrong. We are almost like the big sister of everybody, right? The big brother, big sister of everybody except our own. We got people caping for Asians, and the Asians turn around and sock you in the mouth. They'll beat you with a broom. You come in there, and they don't do your nails. You complain about your nails. They'll steal your purse and hold your purse hostage, you know, and call the police on you. You go to jail. But then they beat you with a broom, and the charges are dismissed. Come on now. What are we doing? What are we doing? I hope and pray y'all not go to another Asian store, another Asian nail shop, another Asian beauty shop, a beauty supply place, another Asian food. Eat your own food. Find you a black restaurant if you have to go out and eat you some black food. You'll never see the Asians that know supporting anybody black. You've never seen it. I talked about this last week. Their code of conduct is to support their own. That should be our code of conduct. When somebody comes to you asking you about these other people, you look at them and you say, I ain't got nothing to do with that. If it's not be one, if it doesn't look like a black face that's got a black mind, and I'm not talking about a black face with a white man. I'm talking about a black face with a black man. If that's not what you're looking at, then that's not, they don't care. If they don't rock, you can't rock with them. You can't just rock with anybody. We have enough on our plate to keep us busy until Jesus comes, until Yahuwah comes. I'm just saying. We have so much on our plate right now. We have this cold that we need to get in order now. Start now with your children. Start now with your grandchildren. Teaching them how to be on code, teaching them how important it is to be black, teaching them how important it is to care about each other, teaching them how important it is to be black. That's something we don't do. We stop teaching our children because guess what? We felt that we were giving them to the white folk to teach, right? So we stopped teaching our own children. So we allow them to teach our children, but what did they teach our children? They taught our children how to hate themselves. They taught our children about a pedophile named Christopher Columbus that was a pedophile that they put on a calendar that they said discovered America. How do you discover something that's already here? I don't understand. How do you discover something how do you discover something that already has people on it? So did he really discover America? I was talking to my granddaughter about it. I was talking to her about it. And I told her, no, he was a pedophile. And she looked, but I have to teach her this because a lot of what we learned was lies. It was to build them up and to make us look bad. I have a guy at work that I work with, and he talks about this Indian guru. I didn't even know he was Indian. And everything, he looks up to this guru or whoever, I don't even know. He called him something. I can't even remember the name he called him. And everything this guru said was negative about black folks. And I asked him, how is it that you listened to somebody that told you that being black was of the devil?
that us black folk, because we're black, we're cursed, and we're of the devil. But you listen to this man faithfully. But he has nothing positive to say about you, your culture. But you are dedicated. Why would you listen to something that's, why would you listen to something that's so negative about who you are? Why would you do that to yourself? I couldn't understand that with him. And him and I talk all the time, but I try to get him to understand who we are. And he's so brainwashed and so colonized that he can't even believe that Yah loved him. He can't even believe that he's Yah's chosen. He can't even believe and understand who he is. He can't even understand that. But it hurts so bad because we've abandoned. We've abandoned us. We've abandoned our own culture to build up somebody else's. We'll build up a white person in a minute. Let a black person, I've seen this on the on a news channel where a black guy was on a plane and they were going to some Denmark, New York, they were going somewhere white. My thing, black folks, please, start visiting Africa. Start visiting some black countries. Stay away. If you want to see white folks, you can stay in America and see them. You don't need to go to them faraway countries and then you get on the plane and they don't know how to treat you. You know, they treat me like dirt on a plane and you going to see them folk and they, you giving them your money and they treat me like dirt. But you have to understand this is where that manumission came in from, where we allow people to treat us any kind of way. We've been so used to black white folk treating us like dogs. We've allowed them to treat us like dogs for so long that it's normal behavior now. If somebody don't treat us like a dog, we think it's not normal. So we treat each other we look at each other through white folk eyes. We treat each other the way they've treated us for years, for centuries. And that's just a known behavior. That's all we know. We've never seen anybody treat us with respect and treat us with love and be, you know, and just, we've never seen that. We've never been shown love. We've never been, everything we do to each other was by them in slavery doing to us, and we pass it along to our children. We pass it along to our family members. We pass it along to our husbands. We've passed hatred and trauma and dysfunction down to our children. We taught them how to think negative about themselves. I seen a video with this little black girl, 4 years old, looked at the camera, looked in the mirror, and called herself ugly. I have an issue with that. Why? What does she know about being ugly at four? What does anybody know about being ugly at four? What is up with that? I don't understand that. That behooves me. That just goes over my head because I don't understand. We have got to bring the code of behavior back, family. If you can rock and stand outside of a Chinese restaurant, rocking and cheering them on and telling, come on in, come on, the food is good. I bet you that person has not stood in front of a black restaurant and caked and pulled and give an advertisement, a free advertisement for them. I guarantee you that person has not done that. But this is how dumb we are. They talk about you like dogs when you go to get your nails and your toes done. And you still go there and give them your money. They treat you like dirt. They beat you with sticks. Did you know about two people that I know that got killed by a Chinese? One was by a Chinese woman, and a man got killed by a Chinese man. The Chinese man killed a black man. And do you not know the Chinese people, knowing that this man was wrong, they got behind this man and they started marching. And they made such a fuss that they dropped the charges. I'm just saying, the Chinese woman shot a teenager in the head because she thought she stole a soda. Can you imagine? A soda. They thought she stole the soda. Come to find out, the girl didn't. Even if she did, worth a dollar soda, a $2 soda, $3, whatever the soda was it worth her dying? Why was that the first thing that this woman thought to do when this was a teenager, probably 14 or 15? I think she was 15. Why would that be something that she was thinking about first to do to our children? Did you see Florida? How all of those police, race soldiers, came out and they tackled this one. I think he actually fell over the little girl. and got mad because they was laughing at him and got up and started harassing her and arrested her. She has a record for absolutely nothing. This is what I'm saying, y'all. We've got to get back to basics. We've got to start getting our code of conduct back. We've got to start loving on each other. We've got to start educating us about our financing, educating us about believing in each other, educating our own children, creating our own jobs, and supporting Black businesses. We've got to do that. We've got to start teaching our children about how amazing it is to be Black. But they've got to see you excited about being Black. They've got to see you being excited about who you are. You can't cape for them and not cape for your own. That's not what we do. You cape for you first. It's almost like we're addicted to being kicked. It's almost like we're addicted to being treated like dogs. We go after the ones that treat us like dogs. We love that. Why is it that we love being treated like dogs? Why is it we love to be traumatized? We look forward to that. And the worse they treat you, the more you go after them. I don't understand. I don't understand that. I don't. We're so busy trying to run away from being Black. Our Black men won't protect the Black women. We need to unlearn what we've learned in slavery. We're endangered species, family. And that's why I wanted to talk just a little bit about that, but I really wanted to talk about the rape and the incest and rape, incest, molestation, and abortion. Because I've met women who've gone through rape, and most Black folk have gone through trauma. We've gone through everything. You know that. Most women, one lady went out on a date and was raped and got pregnant. What would you do if you went out on a date and then after the date you went back to his apartment thinking you're going to just, you know, for a drink, okay? Or not even in his apartment. He went to yours. Or in a car. It can happen in a car. And you got raped. Would you abort the baby? I hope not. Because she didn't. She did not abort the baby. She said, I don't look at this baby as a rape baby. I look at him as my miracle baby. Because she didn't think she could get pregnant. It happened like that. Don't ask me why. And then I met another lady that said same thing happened to her. She was raped and she aborted that baby. But that abortion brought on so much trauma. It affected her physically and emotionally. It was spiritually, it affected her. Suicidal. She was suicidal. She was depressed. It was like a postpartum depression that she went through. 81% mental illness issues. It's derived from when you go through an abortion. 81% of our women go through some type of mental distress. Okay. And do you think why the abortion clinics was put into the Black community? It's called genocide. But we use our abortion clinics as birth control. We will have unprotected sex and know that it's wrong, but we'll do it anyway. And then we'll use an abortion clinic as a birth control. The sad part about it is most pastors back in the day, when Margaret Sanger had Planned Parenthood, the black pastors got behind her. Most of the churches was behind abortion, pro-life. Most of the churches. They was for pro-life. The Episcopal, Presbyterian, Methodist, 1970 abortion as a choice. That's what they used. It was called as a choice. And they were the churches were in favor of abortion. I've never seen that. Because isn't that like murder? Isn't that one of the commandments, Ten Commandments, that we don't know, we no longer learn? We're no longer learning Ten Commandments, but that is one of your Ten Commandments, people. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. And that is a baby. If you could hear a heartbeat, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not even going to say if you could hear a heartbeat. It's not just a tissue. It's a baby. I don't care if it's 3 weeks, 2 weeks. It's still a baby. It still can feel. And really, I've seen in New York, I think it was, that they have made the abortion, you can abort till the day of. I've never seen that in my life. I cannot imagine the spiritual aspect of you being 9 months and getting ready to have this baby any day now, and you decide, oh, I don't want it, I'm going for an abortion. Can you imagine the trauma of your body, the trauma mentally? Yeah, I know you got to feel that baby kicking, and you feel it kicking. You felt it for months, because when you're two, three months, you're feeling it, okay? So you mean to tell me that you felt that kicking and you could literally pull that baby out limb by limb, limb by limb, and you can abort that baby and not feel anything? You think it's going to be that easy? It's not going to be that easy. You're going to feel that. Black women are 4 times more likely than white women to get abortions. And a lot of times it's through rejection. You get pregnant, you date the guy, 30 days, get pregnant, you tell him he's not connected to you like that. He's not emotionally connected. You tell him, he goes, not mine. And you get mad. Or you're thinking about family, or you're thinking about, man, I don't have a job. How am I going to take care of this baby? What am I going to do? And the first thing comes to your mind is to have an abortion. That's the first thing that comes to your mind. I'm going to have an abortion. Y'all see my little hair today, just all over the place. Well, actually, it's not just like that. But first thing you guys think about is, I'm going to have an abortion. Why is that the first thing that you think about? The first thing you should have thought about was not, for one, being on birth control. Okay? Him wrapping it up, you on birth control, or just not having sex. Because sometimes, 9 times out of 10, you're having sex with somebody you don't even know. You just met him. You just went on first date, and you're horny. He's horny, and you guys are doing some things, and boom. No. And now you're pregnant. And now you're thinking, I'll just go get rid of it. Not understanding emotionally what this is getting ready to do for you emotionally. You're getting ready to go through emotionally. It's emotional. It's emotional. And it's so sad. Because a lot of times we don't think about the trauma that you go through mentally. Even when you go through a rape, incest, and molestation, I don't think anyone is worse than the other. I think all of it affects us totally in different ways. A lot of times rape, for little boys, they're raped, depending if it's a male usually. They become gay because they're thinking, oh, my God, I liked it. Was I supposed to like that? And they think, oh, my God, I must be gay because I liked it. And then they start, into this fantasy. They fighting it, but it's a spiritual aspect that just happened during that rape that's out of me. It's a spiritual aspect. It's almost like a transference of spirit. Somebody raped him, so in order he will rape, okay? So it's almost like a transference of spirit, and that person will begin to, thinking, having sexual thoughts about other men. Not saying that they're gay, but that was the first person, especially if you're 4 or 5, 6 or 7, 8 or 9, that's your first person you've had contact with sexually with. And that's usually the way you're going to go. And that's the sad part about it. And what it does to you emotionally, to be raped, incest, or molestation, it rips a child apart from the root. People don't understand the spiritual aspect it does for a child. And I heard that in some countries, pedophilia is getting ready to be legal. They're trying to legalize pedophilia. They're calling it no longer a crime. They're calling it a sickness. So therefore, they're not going to – that's why they was okay in the bathroom thing and the LGBT, because once you start opening the door for one, you open the door for seven spirits, okay? You all know about the one devil. He don't just come by himself. He brings friends, okay? So you got bestiality, pedophilia, LGBT, LMNOP, QRST. He bringing everybody with him, okay? So not only did you open one door, but you opened seven other doors, seven doors, and not even understand what we've just done. He told us to come from among. He said, learn not the ways of the heathen, and that's exactly what we've done. We were learning the ways of heathen. Why? He told you not to, but we couldn't wait to get up under our open enemy. We can't wait to please them. We can't wait to cake for them. We can't wait to show them I'm just as dysfunctional as you are. I'm just as nasty as you are. I can do it better. No. Why is it that we have to follow them? Black folk, that's not who we are. We don't rock like that. We only rock like that because they taught you how to rock like that. They used to rape our babies when they came over. Half the men was homosexuals, and they was messing with our babies. They were having sex with our babies. And somebody, I sent a video the other day on YouTube, and I'm telling them they was just as gay at 5 and 6 and 7, 8, and, you know, just as sweet. And it was so sad. It was so sad. It's so sad. I can't, the trauma that goes with any of it, and most time it's suicidal. You see a lot of kids cutting themselves. That's the biggest giveaway right there. If you ever see a child and you look and they have all those cut marks, they've been sexually abused 100% of the time. I guarantee you. They've been sexually abused. And it's so weird because we really don't understand the deepness. We really don't understand the severity of the actions of another adult that this child trusted his life with, trusted her life with. Even with Wade, remember the little boy, Wade's son, okay? That boy was normal when he was up to 10. Be very careful who we allow our children to come in contact with. If you have a male nanny and he's gay, do not leave him with your son. Please don't do that. If you have a nanny, period, and she's gay, do not leave her with your daughters. I don't care. I'm not trying to be friends. I'm trying to help you to understand. We are not going to allow just anybody around our children. We are going to be very careful who we allow to be around our children. If that person is gay, why would you allow him around your son? And that's what happened with Wade. And I call him Dwayne, or Wade, okay, his son, Zaza. I don't call him that, I call him Zion. That nanny abused him. That boy was fine. You should see the video. It was a video app. The little boy was fine up until that nanny got to him. Once the nanny got to him, then you begin to see changes. We have to be careful. We as black folk, we have to be careful not to allow just anybody around our children. Ladies, I know that you got to work. I know that it's cheaper to have those boyfriends to watch your children because you thinking they got you. They thinking that, you know, he had a video. Yes, it was a white guy, and they showed the video, and the white guy was the nanny, and that's who, but that's the sad part about it. Because this boy, up to 10, he was fine. And they showed the video. He was fine. They were on the water. They showed it was he was fine. But I'm telling you, we have to be very careful, ladies, who we allow our babies to interact, who we allow to watch our babies. Be very careful. These guys coming out of prison, they down low, low down devils. I'm just going to say it. These men are predators. They've been in jail 5, 10, 15 years. What do you think they're doing in jail? Tell me what you think they're doing. If ain't no woman in there, ain't no women in jails, right, on the units, right? What do you think the men doing? What do you think the men doing? They're not just looking at each other, okay? You have to understand the mentality in jail. If you're on top, you're not gay. But if you're on the bottom, you're gay. And it's a lot of gay men coming out of jail that's waiting. They're predators for these single women with boys. And they raping the boys just like they're raping the girls. You have to understand this is prevalent in the black community. It's time for us to be real about some things, and it's time for us to get right. It is time for us to get right up here and stop always thinking everybody is, oh, my God, you know, I have a white friend. He wants to keep my son. Honey, if you see a man that want to keep your son all the time, that is not somebody that you want around your children. I guarantee you, because most men don't want to babysit. I'm just saying. Most men don't want to babysit. Am I correct, men? Most men don't want to babysit, not even our own. So if you have a guy that's always trying to babysit your child, always, girl, I got him. Girl, leave me, I got him. Mm-mm. Nope. I'm going to tell you no. Do not leave your child with that person. Because like I said, most men don't even want to keep their own children, let alone yours, let alone somebody else's seed. Mm-mm. It's something wrong. It's something going on. And a lot of times I guarantee you know it because your child tells you. If you have a daughter or a son, give him a doll. Well, a daughter. Sit her on the floor. Pick her up from daycare. Sit her on the floor. Give her a doll, and she'll tell you everything that happened in that day in daycare. I guarantee you it. It's called teaching your child how to communicate. Give her a doll. Put her on the floor, and you're going to hear everything that went on that day. I'm just saying. That's how I used to do mine. And I would talk to her. She was 2 and 3. And I used to tell her, nothing goes in your mouth. Nothing goes in your. This is me telling a 2 and 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. You have to make that conversation so open and not ashamed for them to talk to you. Because guess what? You start when they're young, and they'll talk to you when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, because they don't know nothing's wrong with it, which is nothing wrong with it. You're just teaching them how to be more comfortable with opening up to talk about stuff like this. Because our kids need to talk like this. You have to make this an everyday conversation, especially if you have your children in daycare, if you have them with a nanny, if you have them with anybody. I don't care who's keeping them. Just like when you, ladies, your husband comes, you know, he's home, his friends come by. That is not something your daughter wants to jump up in your friends, their friends, your husband's friends' lap. I never allowed that with my daughter, ever. I never did. To me, it just wasn't proper. I didn't want somebody, why? For what? You have your own dad. Go sit on your own dad's lap. I'm just saying. No. I just think that's just disgusting for me. But you have to understand why. It's so many perverts out here right now. You don't know who's straight, who's gay, who. You can't tell. So my thing is stop letting your children go and spend the night over in everybody's house. Stop doing that. Because you never know what's going on in somebody else's house. My granddaughter is 10. She had a little girl last year. She's in 5th grade. And a little girl said, I like you. My granddaughter was like, because we already talked. We talk about all that. That was not, you know, we talked this. Look, I don't care what society tell you. Biblically, Yah says blah, blah, blah. She's in a Muslim school. Okay. The Quran says blah, blah, blah. I make it plain. I don't have no cut card. This is what it is. My granddaughter looked at her and she said, I didn't say not to her. I just kept walking. I said, you're going to have to address that. You're going to have to address that. You tell her, your yaya said that is not normal, that's dysfunctional, and I'm not interested. And I did. I told her that. We have to start telling our children what to say when they're approached by dysfunction. Because 100% white children are being, I'm just saying, they're going to encounter some kind of molestation, some kind of dysfunction. I tell black guys, I said, y'all going to these white women, and over half have you slept with their dad, their brother, or their uncle. Over half. You running from, talking about we dysfunction, you running into dysfunction, trying to get away from black women. One man guy said we were bulldogs. Okay, called us bulldogs, right? And he was with a white woman. I said, before it's all over with, you're going to wish you had one of these bulldogs, because when you get done with that thing right there, you're going to wish you had a bulldog, okay, instead of what you got now. They so busy trying to run away from being black that you run into dysfunction. You run into dysfunction, and you don't even know. You're running into all kind of crazy. And as soon as the cuteness, the newness, that you didn't done anything and everything, and you think that you got control over that white woman, mess with her, leave her alone. And she called police and see how much control you don't have when she tell the police that you done raped her. I'm just saying, we so busy trying to run from greatness. You running from a 10 going to a 0. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? No. You running from a 10 going to a 0 and thinking you got something. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. When your child is having nightmares, okay, say for instance they didn't start this new sitter, and the signs, usually, you know, okay, the normal crying when they get to the door is okay, first 2 weeks, I'm going to say, okay, maybe, I'm going to say 2 weeks. 2 months, that baby shouldn't be crying going to that person's house. Something's going on in that house, and that baby is crying, and they going often, quite often, every day, Monday through Friday, and 2 months, that baby's still crying, something's not right. Something ain't right, parents. Something ain't right, ladies. If that baby is crying when you get to that door, and you give that baby to that sitter, and that baby is having, like, he's ready to kill, do not leave your child there. I'm just saying. And you should be checking your child every day. You should be checking his butt. I mean, I'm not here to cut cards. I'm just saying you should be checking his body parts. Okay? I'm just saying. Because they raping little boys like they raping little girls. More so. Because they think you can't tell with the little boy. Okay? But if a little boy come home and he's saying his butt hurt or his bottom's hurting all the time, you need to be looking. You need to be seeing what's going on. Okay? I'm going to tell you the signs as far as rape is depression, anxiety, fearful, flashbacks, sleeping disorders, eating disorders, guilt, distrust of others, okay? Incest is severe psychological symptoms and physical injuries, like they're cutting themselves. You can see that through rape or incest, mostly molestation. Also, physical injuries, mental health issues, the ramifications of incest is shame, treatment. It's also often painful and difficult. Okay, blame, anger, feeling of just shame, feeling unworthy. A lot of times they're pressured to keep it a secret because of fear of what's going to happen, or fear of the person, or fear fear of what's going to happen to that person, especially if it's in incest. Relationship as far as the dad and brother, sister, you know, whatever. A lot of times they're fearful as far as what's going to happen to the family. And if you tell your child, I'm going to take you over, and I have an issue, ladies, of our brothers, uncles keeping our girls. I just have I'm just so serious about that. I do not believe. I mean, every now and then, yes. But a lot of men, I keep telling you, a lot of men do not want to babysit. And if you see a man that wants to babysit your child all the time, it's something going on. That's the biggest sign right there. It is something going on. And you need to be asking your child. They go to Uncle Bruce's house. You come back. Their child come back. How was Uncle Bruce? Was he okay? Did he make you feel okay? Did you feel uncomfortable? I ask that all the time. I don't care. I used to ask that with my kids. I don't care where they went. And if you have a sitter, don't ever give them your schedule. You pop in when you get ready. You may tell her, hey, I'm coming home at 6. You may get off at 4 today. Or you calling all day. Hey, I'm just checking on Bobby. I'm checking on baby. You can hear baby's voice if baby's having a good day or not. You can hear, okay? But stop telling your city your schedule. Come home at 3. Come home at 2. Just leave work one day and just come home early. Just come home Monday. You might have just dropped her off, or even sometimes you're not going to work. Tell her I'm going to work today. And then you come back about 11 or 12 o'clock. Okay, 1 o'clock. I'm just saying, sometimes you have to try the atmosphere. You have to try people out. You have to go there and you interview people. You don't just give your child to just anybody. You interview them people. And you sit there and you see the flow of what's going on. What's going on? I remember one time my daughter, I was interviewing, and I had questions. I have a list of questions because I wanted them to understand the way my child comes here is the way they better leave here. If they come here healthy and whole, they better leave here healthy and whole, because if not, it's going to be you and me. And I meant that. I was one of them parents, okay? So if you don't want to keep her, you feel like you want to abuse her, you feel you want to do something crazy, tell, look, Kathy, I can't keep her. You ain't got to tell me why. Just say, I can't keep her no more. You ain't got to tell me, I feel like abusing her. Just say, Kathy, I don't want to keep her no more. I'm good. I appreciate you telling me. I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate you keeping me out of jail. I'm just saying. Because I'm one of them parents. You're not going to abuse mine. Okay? So we have to be very, you got to keep your eyes open. You have to talk to your kids. You have to ask them. The conversation is real, okay? This is the only way for them to tell you, to feel safe enough to be able to tell you. You have to make it an everyday conversation. You have to make them as free to talk about this as possible. You have to take all shame out of it. You cannot make them feel shameful to tell you anything. You don't make a big deal out of it. Don't start screaming and shouting, it's your fault, what happened? No. And once your daughter tell you, if your kid know, you know they don't know nothing about this stuff, and they describing stuff, you need to sit down and you need to listen, because they're not going to describe nothing they ain't seen before. You feel me where I'm going? If they've not seen that body part, how are they going to describe something like that to you? You better listen. If they say, oh, so-and-so, you know, or if a three-year-old come up to you and touch your pants and feeling for stuff, and you know, what's that? Hold on here. You know, and they say, you know, they just do some, you know, something out of the blue. Don't get so shocked. See what's going on. Let them finish showing you what's going on. Don't get so, well, what you doing? What's going on? No, let them show you. A lot of times they may not be able to tell you, but they can show you. Because they're going to walk up to you and do something crazy. They're going to do something to you that somebody been doing to them. And they're going to say something behind it. Just keep your eyes and your ears open, family. Be one. Our children are most important. Molestation. You have to understand, and just like I keep telling you, rape, incest, and molestation is pretty much, it's all the same, because it's, especially when it's a family member, and that's usually who do it. Usually strangers, you know, they going over to a sitter, that sitter's going to become family. That sitter's going to become like family. I remember one sitter way back in the day, come find out her son was getting down. Keep getting down. And that's one thing I didn't do. I didn't take my son. I didn't take my kids anywhere where it was a man watching them or a husband watching them, a husband was helping or a son was helping. No. Or a sitter that had an older son, he was 16, and your baby's 2 or 3. No. That's an unsafe environment. Unsafe environment. If she tell me, oh, her husband was helping, what he helping doing? He changing diapers, giving baths? No, my child ain't going there. It needs to be her. It needs to be her by herself. This is her job, okay? And another woman, maybe. But even then, you're going to watch these women, because some of these women, okay? Didn't Elvis Presley's daughter, what's her name? What's that girl's name? Say she was gay. No, it wasn't Elvis Presley. It was somebody's daughter. Hold on. Cher. Remember Cher? Her daughter said that the nanny molested her. It was a her. It was a she. I'm just saying. You got to be very leery, because these, I'm telling you, they dysfunctional people, these best friends that you call, these white folks best friends, okay, that you call best friend, your open enemy, you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful, you guys. We cannot take chances with our babies. You guys, I want you guys to like and share this video, because I'm trying to get more people, because I'm starting back up. I had stopped at one point, so I'm trying to get back up. So you guys like and share, so that we can make sure you subscribe, tell people about, you know, the video, so that we can get more people on. But even if people don't come right now, I know they'll come later, because they'll, you know, leave your questions, your comments, and I want you guys to like the video and share it, okay? Because these are issues that us as Black folks need to talk about. These are B1 issues, and it's going on in our families, and we try to keep stuff quiet for what? Quiet why? No. And if your child has had that issue or been molested or the ancestral relationships with, get them some help, please. Do not scrape this. Do not put it, you know, so many times we go through divorce, we go through so much in our families, and we don't bother to get therapy for our children. But if they've gone through a divorce, if you've gone through a divorce, if you've gone and they've gone through molestation, say for maybe a sitter, or maybe you married to a guy and his son raped your son, or something like that. I'm just saying, get your son some help. Please get your child some help. Don't just allow stuff in your house and nobody gets help. This is what's wrong with the Black community now. We never got help from the trauma, the hell that we went through for 400 years, and we still frown upon therapy. Why would you frown upon therapists? Why would you frown upon getting help? Stop doing that. It is time for us to get help, and you know there's some dysfunctional things going on with you. Go get some help. It's okay. It's okay, you guys. The molestation, negative messages about personal, interpersonal worth, they deal with a lot of personal feeling, unworthy, okay? Overwhelming emotional reactions, remembering the abuse through bodily sensations sometimes, people that don't like to be touched a lot of times have been molested. Personal narrative of abuse, acting of unconsciously buried abuse, okay? Sometimes they've suppressed it, but it's triggers, okay? So just be aware. If you have grandkids or you have children yourself and that person is kind of withdrawn, when she used to be so, and then you take them over to somebody's house. I had a guy, and I used to, you know, contract myself out, and I did hair, and I went to different nursing homes, group homes, did a lot of group homes. Every time this little boy, he was probably 19 or 20, but he was going, he had so much emotional abuse, physical abuse by his dad. He was adopted. He was a little Chinese boy, Asian, I won't say Asian. He was molested by his dad. And this boy was grown, and his dad would still come to the group home and pick him up and take him and molest him and bring him back. Every time that boy, before he would leave or he would get, they wouldn't tell the man, I shouldn't say the little boy, they wouldn't even tell him that his dad was coming because he would act the fool to stop from going over the dad's house, okay? But then when the dad would get there, he would get super quiet, he'd go off with the dad, he'd come back and act the fool. You have to understand, be very mindful of behaviors, be very mindful of behaviors. If somebody sees somebody and they check out the action and reaction to that person, you can tell if something's going on. You can always tell. Just like we could tell when he would come back. That boy would literally be cutting. I mean, acting a fool. He's going off and he's going in a rage. And they would have to... I mean, he was on medication, and this boy, you would almost have to give him a double dose when he left his dad, when he came back. They would always, but they couldn't help it. He's 20. He can say, I don't want to go, but they can't stop him. They can't stop the dad from coming. They can't stop him from going with the dad if he's an adult, and the dad was still doing this, and this boy, the mom, I don't know if the mom knew. I'm sure she probably did. But every time the dad would come and get this young man, he would act a fool and come back. He was just off the chain. And they knew, but there wasn't nothing they couldn't do anything. They couldn't say, no, you can't come and get him. He was 20. He was older. So just be very aware of the behaviors, okay? They also will, they'll almost feel like they're powerless. So just be very, just watch. Keep your eyes open. if a child is trying to tell you something or trying to say something, don't shut them down. Let them talk. Let them talk. Sometimes we be saying, oh, girl, go sit down somewhere. Ain't nobody doing nothing to you. If that child is 4 or 5 and they have details that no other child should be able to describe nobody's body part, and if that child is discussing and describing a body part, then I would be leery and I would be thinking something's going on. And please do not go to that person and say, my daughter said, blah, 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 blah. And then you take her back over there and leave her there again. Does that, people do that. That makes no sense to me. But people do it. Stop doing that. Stop allowing, stop it, please. We have got to protect our children more. We've got to protect our babies more. And ladies, you've got to, like you going on these dates, stop meeting these guys on the computer and going to their homes, or you going to their apartments, or you go, no, stop it. You meet them out front. You meet them right there. You meet them in the restaurant until you get to know them. Even the second or third date, you talk to them on the phone. You're not going third or fourth, fifth date. I'm not going to your house yet. I'm getting to know you. We're going to talk on the phone. We're going to meet it. We're going to meet at the restaurant. I'm not even letting you come to my house. Because you know we're doing these online datings now, right? Stop meeting these guys at your home. Stop letting them pick you up. And then you find out they're crazy and they got your home address. Take you some mace with you. Take you your weapon with you. Take you your knife with you. Take something with you. You should be doing that anyway. Now, what's going on right now? You should have your stuff together already, family. You should not be out there with nothing in your hand. You should not be out there with no weapon or no nothing. You gonna always cover yourself. You gonna always have some protection. Because right now you don't need dating time. You don't know what in the world you coming across. It's some perverts. It's some crazy folk on these computers. And you have to understand that. You have to stop being so comfortable because somebody's smiling your face. Somebody's being nice to your child while you're there. Because anybody can smile. Anybody can, hey, anybody can do that. But how does your child feel about it? Does your child feel safe? Do they feel weird around them? If your child comes in and say, I feel weird about Bobby, what does that mean, baby? Weird. Explain weird. Help him to explain what he means. Help him to explain weird. I want you to tell me, give me a word of what weird means to you. Don't just say, oh, Bobby's okay. Bobby's a nice man. He's telling you Bobby is not. He's telling you that there's something wrong with Bobby. He's telling you. He's trying to tell you. But if you shut him down, he's not going to tell you. Then he's going to be like, I can't trust her with my secret because Bobby had already told me. If I tell somebody, Bobby going to kill me, my dog, my mama, my daddy, and the cat. But you have to understand, stop always being so apt to talk and to rush to a conclusion of the matter. Listen. Keep your ears open. If they wet in the bed, if they have a nightmare, if they crying out in the middle of the night, you have to find out why, what's going on with them. Why? Why? Why is that baby crying out at night? Why is that baby having a nightmare? You got to find out. You can't be so, oh, I'm so tired, and oh, my God, he having another nightmare. Boy, shut up. Lay down in there. Ain't no monsters in that bed. Ain't no monsters. We are so busy, family, that we are missing the mark. We are missing the mark. We're so tired from working 16 hours. We're so tired from working 12-hour days. But you're missing something. Something's going to be neglected. Is it going to be you, your house, your baby, your man? Something is going to be neglected. You can't, those kids were there before anybody was. If you're married to their father, if your daughter come and tell you, because I'm seeing, I went to school with girls, honey. I went to school with two sisters. And I'm talking about biological daddies that they came out of his loins.
it came out. I'm just saying, he was molesting both of them. I'm so serious. They were big girls. They were big girls. One acted different. One would act out more. I don't know if it was more, you know, or maybe she, I don't know why she acted out more. So she's getting drunk, high, you know, all of it. Drunk, high, and just, you know, just out a mess. But it was because of what was going on at home. It was because of what was going on at home. So I'm telling you, even if it's that child's father, if some dysfunction is going on, if some dysfunction is going on in your house, ladies, you are obligated to protect your babies. That is your job, to protect your babies. That is your job. Even if that's her dad, or even if that's his dad, you have to stay focused. You have to keep your ears open. You have to, because Y'all will tell you. You can look at your baby's face when you're dropping that baby off, when you're picking that baby up. If you have a relationship with your child, you can literally look at that baby's face and know what kind of day he had. When you come to pick that baby up, you are going to know what kind of day he had. You're going to know. If they had a good day, you can see it. You can see it. I could literally pick my kids up and look at my oldest, her, everything. You know, some kids, everything showing their face. You had a good day, honey? And her answer, or when she would come to the door, it would be a look on her face that she had a bad day. And I'd be, okay, let's talk about it. I would sit down in the floor and play with them dolls, and I'd play. We braid hair. And she telling me all about what happened in daycare. Because I had a private sitter. When they were little, it was her, an old lady. And then when they got maybe about, then I put them in daycare because I wanted them to have more activity, you know, playing with other kids. I wanted them, you know, to learn how to, I think it was about 3 and a half, almost 4. I would put them in regular school, you know, daycare. That way they can have some kind of interaction with other kids. But I would sit down on the floor with them, honey. And then I come, I may get off work at 12 o'clock. I may get off at 1. I may get off. I may not even work that day and drop them off. They think I'm going to work. And I come right back and pick them up within 2 hours. They never knew. Daycare never knew. I didn't care if I had to pay the whole day. I didn't care. I wanted to see what was going on with my child, if she was safe or not. I wanted to know what was going on when I wasn't there. And now some of these daycares, that you can have your cameras, okay? You can have little cameras, you know, like, for instance, you can have a little barrette, and that barrette is up here, and they don't even have to know it's a camera. You can order those, and that barrette will show you everything that's going on in that daycare. I'm serious. If you even suspect anything, even if you have somebody coming to your house, you have that child's hair, you know, made up, or a little whatever around, like a little whatever pennant or something, or a little teddy bear. You can have a little bear or something, you know, and you can have a little eye, you know, right there, and you can set it right there where you can see it. I'm just saying, it's ways, it's things that you can do, ladies. Safety is everything. And if you feel it, you better believe it's happening. If you feel anything, if you feel ugh around a person, it's probably ugh. Because, you know, we had that intuition. And I can feel people. And if I feel ugh, it's probably ugh. I'm just saying. It is time for us to be more aware and alert. And it is time for us to get our mindset right. Because I'm telling you, my goal with my children was to make sure that they had a healthy childhood and a healthy teenage years. And I'm telling you, I did not play. I worked 3 days a week. Okay, but I told you how I went. I did an interview. I interviewed everybody, and they never knew my schedule. So, and I talked to my kids, honey. We talked about everything. Okay, we talked about everything. What stuff don't go, okay, and what don't go in there. I'm just saying, we talked about everything. Everything, and I'm looking.
I checked. I looked. You got to look. You can't just assume. We're looking. We are looking to make sure that everything is prophetic. It's going on, okay? We're not trying to deal with no other stuff. I'm just saying. I don't have time to be dealing with all this homosexuality stuff because somebody was nasty or somebody didn't know how to treat your child or somebody was doing something they had no business. Mm-mm. I ain't got time for that. Most kids that are homosexuals have been molested or abused. They may not admit it, but they were. I'm just saying. You have to understand that. And a lot of times, some boys, some of them, because they're feeling rejected by a parent or they're not loved by that parent or want that parent's love, that they didn't get that enough love from that parent. Seriously. And a lot of times we have to understand what's in our DNA, okay? If you have, just like I say, that baby was raped, okay, no, not the baby, the mother was raped, okay, that DNA, there's a sexual something in that baby's DNA. Now, so not saying that baby will be raping, I'm just saying it's going to be some kind of sexual sin, okay, that's being passed down by that father's traits, okay, into that baby. I'm just saying, in your DNA, you have to understand. We got to get clear as far as why was that father a rapist in the first place? What happened to him for him to be a rapist now? Okay? What happened in his family or what's in his family? What sexual sin is in his family that's been passed down now? So you got to do some homework. You got to do some homework. I'm telling you, I used to work in a hospital. And I mean, we see all kinds of stuff. And it's not cute when you see a rabbit and a man, okay? I'm just saying, you have to understand, you have to see stuff. You have to keep your eyes open, ears open. You have to watch and you have to see dysfunction. You cannot date these men and get to know these men and get to know these women, okay? You have a lot of teachers now that are doing some things they ain't got no business doing, okay, with these babies. You got fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders, and you got high schoolers, like junior high schoolers that you look like men. They look like men, and these women are dysfunctional women, okay? And they doing some things with these boys that they ain't got no business doing. And people say, oh, my God. You know, he's just, oh, my goodness, my teacher, you know, she would be. That's not cute. That's molestation. But sometimes these boys don't understand it, unless it's a man. But if it's a woman, they'd be, oh, that's an older woman. I got, you know, she was teaching me some stuff. That's still molestation. If you are a sixth grader and she's just getting out of college and you were having sex with her, that's molestation. That's not normal. That's not an older woman. That's a molester. That's what it is. I'm just telling you, just because you were 15 and you talk like a man and you built like a dude, you know, you built like a man, and she's just first year out of college is what, 21, and you 15, and you and her, that's a molester, okay? Ain't nothing cute about that. I'm just saying. We have to understand and recognize dysfunction. That's dysfunctional for a teacher who's 21, 22 to be messing with a 15, 16-year-old, even if he's 17. Excuse me, he's still underage. He's still underage. I'm just saying. He's still underage. So you need to handle your business. I remember that one year, just remember that movie? Well, he was a Spanish little boy, and her brother had died at 12. I don't know what happened. He must have drowned or something, but she had something to do with it, okay? And she lost her brother, and she was 12. I think he wasn't really young. 9. He was 10. She was 12, something like that. But she couldn't get over that. So she started messing with this sixth grader. And she messed with this boy, and at age 13, she had sex with that boy, and she got pregnant. We're talking about a grown woman, and this boy was 13, 14. Do you not know the judge had to, this is a true story, you guys can look this up. It's a story on the internet, or maybe on Netflix. this woman, the judge had, she was a teacher, the judge had to bring her up on charges or a protective order against him and said, hey, this dude, this boy is underage. She went to jail a few times for this boy. Seriously, the judge said, you mess with him, you come close to him, you're going to jail. She messed with him, came close to him, and sex with him. The mom found out, and me and the mom was on it, though. Every time she come near that boy, the mom had her put in jail. The mom was so mad. The mom was hot. But she went to jail several times for this little boy. They end up getting married. When he got 18 or 21, I think it was 21, she was married. Now, remind you, she was married at the time when she's messed with this boy. She got pregnant. Her husband left her. They found out. She went to jail. They found out whose baby, found out all that stuff. It was disgusting. It was terrible. Her husband ended up leaving her. She divorced him. He divorced her. When that boy hit 21, I think it was, because I think 21 for boys, they got married. They got married. And this was a true story. She never was right in her head from that from her brother or when her brother died. Seriously. But dysfunction. I keep telling you, people got some dysfunctional ways. They were smiling your face and doing dirt, honey, all the time. All the time. You have to listen to your children. You have to listen. You have to know what's going on. You have to understand that your children are not just making up stuff when they're talking about people's body parts or people, whatever. Okay? You guys have to understand that. I cannot stress that enough. I wasn't trying to be on here long, you guys. Like I said, I am doing a live. But I just want us to really, and we were talking about rape, incest, and molestation, and abortion. And you have to know that spiritually, abortion is not just your ending that pregnancy. That's a spiritual matter, you guys. It is murder. And it takes you into another dimension. It's not just you aborting a baby. You are going to go through a depression. It's traumatic. I mean, you're going to deal with it mentally. And you have to be ready for the side effects. It's painful. And maybe it might even help to understand how the abortion is done. Okay, maybe I should have put that on here. But it is not something that you are going to go through and not feel depression behind it, and sometimes suicidal. So if you already are dealing with an issue that happened, like one of the other rape, incest, or molestation from something earlier that happened, and then you get pregnant, you know, with the, maybe somebody has molested you, son or child, and then you say, well, I'm going to just go ahead and have an abortion, that'll pop you into the worst depression ever because you didn't deal with the molestation, incest, or the rape. You didn't deal with that. And then you turn around and had an abortion on top of all that other stuff going on. You're going to do more damage than good. And you're going to do more damage than good. And the enemy is going to use that to take you into another area. And possibly into a deeper depression, and so and more or less going to take you into suicidal thoughts. So that molestation, rape, incest door has got to be dealt with. And this is how so many boys are coming out gay right now, because mom, you're not there, and their brothers are watching these porn movies while you're at work, and the brother doing some things, the uncle doing some things. And right now, brothers raping sisters, and sisters raping brothers, and brothers raping brothers. And you got to keep your eyes open, ladies, women. I'm telling you, because our children are full open game. When you are at work, and you got these guys over your children, and these guys have been abused themselves, and a lot of times, a lot of guys who have been abused, they will be hoes. They will be trying to tackle every woman that they can because they're trying to prove that they're not a gay, okay? So you have to understand that. I remember seeing a movie where this little boy, his uncle was actually coming to get him. This was his mother's brother. Listen to me, his mother's brother. And he was having sex with him. And he was giving him money. And the mom was like, so where did all this money from? He never told his mom. He never told anybody about the uncle raping him. But he became the biggest hoe. I mean, he was messed with every woman out there because he wanted to prove to himself that he wasn't gay. He wanted to prove to himself that he wasn't gay. So he was mean to women, and he was just hitting anything and everything, and he was treating women really bad. But it was the pain, and it was almost like the pain in him that he had something to prove, you know, because his uncle had, you know, and he was doing it for years. He was raping that boy for years, and mom never knew, and because he never told, because he knew, and the mom never knew. So guess what? He kept going over to uncle's house or going out with the uncle. The uncle would take him camping, taking him here, taking him there. Like I said, didn't I tell you? A man don't want to be bothered with another man's child. I mean, even if he's your uncle, uncles ain't going to still want to be bothered all the time like that. I'm just saying. We have to be very careful. And it's okay to ask your children questions about Uncle Teddy or Aunt Betty. I'm just saying. Stop thinking that, oh, that's her uncle. That's his uncle. They're good. No. That's when things happen, when you're so sure about Uncle Teddy. But you know Uncle Teddy was gay because Uncle Teddy touched you. That's another thing. When I see these girls, and I knew a young lady, because I talk to y'all a lot of young ladies. I knew a young lady, and her father, like, again, this is another young lady, was molesting her. Do you not know she let her dad keep her daughter? And guess what he was doing to the daughter? I'm just saying, you guys. We have to be smart about this. We cannot be so comfortable. And I don't know what possessed her to allow her dad that molested her to keep her daughter. And they found out, the husband found out that the dad was molesting the girl and almost killed that man. Now, see, you didn't bolt some more up. You didn't open up some more doors. Not only did you get your husband in trouble, now your daddy is, you know, daddy didn't get beat down. And the daughter, you know, she didn't get affected by that. Okay? He was babysitting a girl. He was babysitting a little girl. Why she would allow her daddy to keep her daughter after her daughter did that, her daddy did that to her, that behooves me. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. But she allowed it to happen. But see, stuff like that should have never happened. That daddy should have never been allowed to keep that daughter. Been allowed. And she was like four or five. But he had been probably molesting her since she was a baby because he's been keeping her since the baby. But why would you? I can't understand that. I don't understand what that was about. But the dad, once the father, the baby's daddy found out, The after he beat the heck out of the daddy, the granddaddy, I should say, the girl's daddy, after the baby's father beat the heck out of the grandfather, he had to move so he was homeless. So he had nowhere to go, which was, you know, whatever. That's a, you know, whatever. He's lucky he was still alive to be able to be homeless. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But that dude, boy, it was serious. And then come to find out, she told the dad, you know, she told her husband, you know, what happened to her. And the husband said the same thing. Why would you let your father keep your daughter after what he did to you? Because I guess the father didn't even know. The husband didn't know, right, what the father had, you know, done to his wife. And she finally told. But there's no way I would have let, he wouldn't have been near my daughter. He wouldn't even been living in my house. I'm just saying, considering what he had did. But then again, this is that Stockholm syndrome that we suffer with, that we suffer from. You tend to look for the abuser. You tend to gravitate to the abuser. And that's what black folk do. We gravitate to our abusers. We gravitate to white folk. We gravitate to our abusers. We gravitate to them. We look for them. Hey, you like me now? We do whatever we can. I'm going to go against my own for you so that you can like me. You like me now? You going to be my friend now, massa? Silly, Miss Silly, you're going to be my friend now? You're going to be my friend. Remember Kizzy and that white girl, Kizzy, Kunta Kinta? when it, the father was taking Kizzy away, and a little white girl looked out the window, and she was calling for the little, the Miss somebody, Miss whoever, and the little girl closed the curtain and went on about her business. Kizzy never forgot that, but that white girl forgot it, though, didn't it? These are people that we call our friends. This is how much they're not your friend. I don't care how much smiling they do. And her and Kizzy used to play together all the time. But when it came down to that little white girl covering her, she left little Kizzy right on up out of there, right, left her right there to be sold to the next family. I'm serious. I'm telling you, we keep thinking these people are your friends. They're not. I'm going to do a show on that. Friends are not. These are not. How can they be taught? And they are taught, and they are all. And Dana Stevens, I don't know if you guys listen to Dana Stevens. Go on his show. He talks about that. He'll tell you all whites are racist. He tells you, I don't care how much they smile, how much you think they're your best friend, and they only your friend because they can use you and you're a safe Negro. If they cannot use you, if you're not safe, if you talk like me, I ain't got no white friend. I don't have no white friend because I don't rock like that. I don't think no. I may meet some out in the street, hey, how you doing, and keep moving. But friends, because I know when I say something, we going to fall out because I'm going to be real because I be checking them at work. I'm just saying, I don't have no white friends because I don't rock like that, and I don't trust them, and I know what they're about. That's why I don't have no white friends, and I'm not being funny. I'm not being no kind of way. I'm just trying to help us to wake the heck up to understand they're not your friend, honey. These folk are your enemy, open enemies, children, your master, children who have been taught since slavery that you beneath them. And they really do believe that. You may have one to tell that lie and say, I don't believe in color, I don't see color, you lying. You're a liar and the truth ain't in you. The devil, a lie, don't care who tell it. And the devil is a lie. You are lying through your teeth. You do see color. They can tell you that lie, or you'll have one that say, well, my daughter, her daughter, I have a granddaughter that's black. Okay, do you keep her? Does she eat at your house? Is she allowed at your house? I'm just saying, and how do you treat her when she comes to your house? I'm serious. Let me just say one thing, black family. If you have a white person and they rocking with you like that, if you have a lot of white friends, ask why. Ask yourself why. Why do I have a lot of white friends? You need to check you. You need to check your heart. You need to check you. Because either you doing something, you caping for them, they caping for you because you safe. You're not a threat. Or you thinking they're your friend. But as soon as they get mad at you, as soon as them jokers get mad, the evilness comes out. And they will cuss you and call you all kinds of names. I'm telling you, don't ever think that they're your friend. Don't ever think your open enemy is your friend. Don't you ever think that. Don't you ever think that. They ain't got you like that. They ain't rocking with you like that. But we so busy trying to run away from being black. You talk to some people, they say, well, I voted for Trump. And I had one guy on here, the other, probably 2 weeks ago, argue me up and down. I voted for Trump. Okay, I already know why you voted for Trump. And I asked him, I said, you either married to a white woman? He said, no, I'm married to a black woman. She's African. I said, but you have to understand, African, Jamaican, they're not ADOS. They're not Foundation of Black American. They're not that. They don't have that heart, that B1 heart. They still over here caping for white folks. Just like when you seen, what was that boy who died? Botham Jean, his brother, who sat up there and was talking about Amber Geiger's his friend. He hoped that one day they could be friends, but he just killed your brother. But she just killed your brother, got 10 years, probably going to serve 5 years and get out of jail. But you hoping that she's your friend? Really? Why would you want to be friends with your brother's enemy? Stockholm Syndrome. Just like, remember what we talked about, Stockholm Syndrome? Okay. This woman was kidnapped. And when she got caught, when the kidnapper got caught with her, she asked the police, is they going to get in trouble? Was they going to get in trouble? Was they going to jail? The police said, yes, they're going to jail. She cried all the way to jail. She cried. It wasn't. She was the one kidnapped. But that's called Stockholm Syndrome. That's what black folks are suffering from. When they tell you Stockholm Syndrome and Willie Lynch don't exist, but you see us doing the Stockholm Syndrome, Willie Lynch, you see it, the behavior, meritorious manumission, the benign neglect, which means to ignore black folk. When you see that and they try to tell you it doesn't exist, because you know they'll tell you something don't exist in a minute. They'll tell you racism is not racism in America, not racist. I've not experienced racism in America. Okay, you might not, but I know every black person here has. And when you meet a foundational black America, every last one has experienced racism. And when you see Candace Owens tell you that racism does not exist, but she had to sue her school because they was acting racist against her when she was in high school, in her town. They was acting racist against her. She had to sue the school. That's what we have to understand. So when a person tells you, oh, racism don't exist, you really know it does. Who's talking about that? So you have to understand, this guy, I told him, I said, you're not married to a black woman. He's not married to an African. Now, Africans don't act like us. Hey, Jasmine, how are you? I am live now. And we do this every Sunday at 7 o'clock to 8:30. We talk about my book. I have a new book. I'm going to show you right quick. This is my new book, and I want you to like and share. I'm going to start coming on more often Sunday nights at 7, and then also I come on Thursdays, and we talk about Me One Issues Thursday, and we do more blog talk radio. We do more blog talk radio, okay? So, and that number is 563-999-3682 for blog talk radio. But, yes, and, yes, I am fine. How are you? And we were talking about, you know, I'm doing some really deep issues. We are talking about rape, incest, molestation, and abortion. And I think this is much needed in our community. I think we don't talk enough about it. If you go on my page, I talked about the meritorious manumission and talked about how we have been stripped of our code of behavior. And this is why you see black folk acting the way they are, why they act the way they do. And this is why we can look at the black folk and we be like, wow, why are you acting like that? It's because of the simple fact we lost our code of behavior. And for the ones that just joined me, I want you to tune back in as far as our video and catch it from the beginning. Like I said, we are only on here for an hour and a half on Sundays. And we are on here 2 hours on Thursdays. And we talk about some really great issues, black issues. B1 First is always going to be B1 First. So I want you to like and share, and I want you guys to join me on some Sundays and on some Thursday nights, because we do get into some great conversations. And I don't want to just be sitting out here running my mouth by myself. I need for you guys to go back and forth, just like I'm taping. I'm on Facebook Live, but I'm also on Blog Talk at the same time, and I'm doing a show on Blog Talk Radio. And that one you can call in, and that's the number that I gave you guys. But I'm not going to be on here long. I just wanted to come to you guys, and I want you guys to go back and listen to the whole show. I think you'll enjoy it. We talked a little bit about the Asians and how we're caping for the Asians, and we don't even cape for our own business the way we cape for Asians. Okay, we're talking about their business, and they're trying to give them $8 billion to save their business. So we have to understand why you get this $1,000 or why every family is getting that money so that they can do what they need to do for the Asians. But this thing is so. But I'm gonna tell you what: that coronavirus. Do not take that vaccine. Do not, because that's what's going to. And I believe that's what's causing a lot of those deaths, because they're giving those people the vaccine, and that's what's taking them out. So I'm just saying, I've heard lots of people tell me not to take it, which I hadn't planned on taking anything. You ain't got to tell me. I don't take nothing the government giving for free. I'm just saying. I don't believe in all of that stuff. But I just want you guys to really think about what we've talked about, and it's time for us to change some behaviors. And with that money that you're going to get and with your taxes, You can start your own business. It's time for us to do for us. I'm just saying. I just want you guys to do better and you know, get it together, you guys, family. But with that said, I'm going to call it the day, and we are going to have, I want you guys to have a great night on purpose. Thanks for joining, you guys. Peace. Okay, I just want, I'm going to put on, I want you guys to have a great week, Facebook Live, YouTube, and Blog Talk.
And now